Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Today is May 4th, the original deadline for starting to reopen Massachusetts, but I'm guessing you know that date has been pushed back. Governor Baker expects recommendations from a committee on May 18th, but at this point, it's not clear when Massachusetts will really reopen for business and life. And so in the meantime, we wanted to ask you, how do you handle not knowing? What are your biggest challenges right now at work, home, in your community? And what's on your mind as Massachusetts remains closed for non-essential businesses while other states begin to reopen? We want you to call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Call us. Or you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Now, in addition to you, we've invited a number of people who have been on the show since the pandemic started to check in with us today to see how they're doing, too. Joining me for all of it is Dr. Josh Barocas, an infectious disease physician and assistant professor of medicine at Boston Medical Center and the Boston University School of Medicine, and someone who's been on the show several times since the beginning of the pandemic. Dr. Barocas, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. And actually, that's the first question I want to ask you. How are you doing? And how are your patients?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. I'm just actually finishing up a stint on the inpatient infectious disease consultation service today. And so I'm coming to you from just across the street from the hospital. The patients are resilient. The medical staff are resilient. The hospital staff are resilient. I think that's the term of the day. Everyone is doing their best to be as resilient as possible.
So the governor has said that on May 18th, his office is going to release this plan from his advisory board on how and when we can expect the state to really start to reopen beyond essential businesses. But there hasn't been communication so far about when that really might be. Today he said, you know, it's not like somebody's going to fire a starting gun and declare that, you know, we're reopened for business on May 18th. Still, other states in the U.S. have started reopening, especially in the South. Do you think that the cautious approach the governor's taking is the right decision?
You know, I'm really glad that the governor is taking this cautious approach. There are a couple reasons. Like I said, I've been in the hospital, and one of my colleagues and I were talking about this, and yes, we may be seeing a cresting or a plateauing, but I think it's really, really too early to say we are past the time where we should be, you know, nervous is, I guess, the best way to put it. There's still a lot of coronavirus around, and this cautious approach and really setting people's expectations that this isn't going to be just a starting gun, that all of a sudden on some day, all of the camps and all of the businesses and everything's just going to sort of restart as if it were all on pause. It's not going to happen that way, and it shouldn't happen that way. And I think that taking this cautious approach is in the best interest of the lives of people here in Boston and in Massachusetts.
So as our preparations in the last hour or so for the show have been unfolding, and as the show has begun, our production team has noticed some reports of a fairly substantial number of people at the State House protesting today. We know we've seen similar protests around the country. You talked about, you know, your colleagues and your patients being resilient. People are, but the uncertainty and the economic fear obviously are present and real too. What is your reaction to the protests, and what would you say if you had an opportunity to speak with people who are thinking about going down to the State House and expressing their displeasure at the situation that we're in?
You know, I know that this is frustrating. I know that this is actually compounded. There are a lot of feelings, and I don't want to put words in or feelings in people's mouths or minds, but we all know many of us are feeling frustrated or feeling scared or feeling helpless or inadequate. And a lot of times, just as in the stages of grief, sometimes we feel all of those at the same time, and sometimes they snowball into anger, into despair. I have to say that I hear that, and I empathize. I really do. Like I said, though, I've been at the hospital. There is still a lot of disease. There is still a lot of suffering. And I truly just ask, I would ask and implore everyone to maintain that sense of compassion. I know that the economy is taking a hit. I know that many people, that the economy is not one big thing. It consists of people and individuals who are struggling and they're hurting. And that's not to discount the suffering that they're feeling. I see a lot of other human suffering right now, and a lot of while I opened up by saying that there's resilience, people are hurting and people are very sick. And I think that I just actually ask and truly implore people to think about what's happening at the hospitals and what's happening in these other people's lives. And it's truly just devastating.
All right, let's take a call. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We want to hear from you. We're good 7 weeks into this. How you doing? What's on your mind? What are you struggling with? Call in, pull up a seat at the table, join the conversation. We've got Janet on the line from Cape Ann. Janet, hi there.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. First, I want to share, I think Radio Boston is doing this, a fabulous job of including
Thanks.
Community members to be able to come forward and speak. I really thank you for this. Secondly,
Thanks,
I think Governor Baker is doing a superb job. I honestly don't want to see things opening up anytime soon. I am over 70. I'm blind. And my husband is over 70, high risk. So we just feel that as long as it needs to take, please take the time. Lives are so much more important. And I feel when things get difficult, you know, we begin to feel, oh, this is really hard, I immediately start thinking about what other people are going through, the people in the hospital, frontline workers, all of the people who are putting themselves out there. I think it's true. We need to give all those people more compassion, be more aware of what they're going through. Yeah, it's hard. I do know. I have a friend who just got tested for the virus and is headed into the hospital. So, it's all around. It's scary. But just knowing things are being taken care of, that the governor will not allow things to open up until it's really, really safe. That is most important to me.
Janet, thanks for that call. I really appreciate it. Dr. Brokos, I'm going to go to another person in just a moment, but let me give you a minute to react.
You know, I hear Janet, and I couldn't agree more. The way that we respond in an epidemic like this to our vulnerable populations who are most at risk for severe disease or disease in general really says a lot about how we are as a people. And if we can keep that in mind, just as Janet reminded us, it's going to show that we are a good, compassionate community.
So Dr. Barocca, stay with us. Hang on here. We're going to check in with a few different people that we have talked to, like you, over the last several weeks. And I want to start with Jose Martinez, who's worked nearly 31 years as a custodial worker for Boston University. He's on the line from Chelsea. Jose, hello again.
Hey, good afternoon.
So I know you're still working every day. How are you doing?
Right now, just day by day. I mean, with everything that's going around, I mean, I live in ground zero right now. Day by day, if I pick my head up and try to think about, like, what's going on in my own neighborhood, the National Guard trying to, you know, bring food to people, the neighbors that I've lost, and I can't think beyond the day, because there's also an economic, you had mentioned that people, you know, wanted to go to the State House, and yes, after, if we get past this, there's going to be an economic hit that I can't even see beyond it. You know, right now it's just today, and to the point where you could, you know, easily get depressed, because as a person that's always lived week by week, you know, you figure out what you need to do next in order to keep going. You can't figure out, because in some aspects, because of the economy, you're just strapped down and just doing what you can do, you know?
Jose, you mentioned that sort of the risk of starting to feel depressed. What do you tell yourself to get through the day and to keep yourself from sliding into that?
Well, I am, you know, as I'm fortunate that at least I'm working, I'm still taking an ECMA on a, you know, I'm still taking a hit, but at least I'm working so I can focus on that. But I have people around me, for example, I got a tenant that she's behind rent. And when I talk to her, I mean, the worst thing you could do is sit there and have the four walls close in on you, because this is a woman that was used to working 6 days a week, completely independent, and just shut down. And it's something, you know, and I hear the doctors and the compassion and everything. Absolutely, we're on the same page. But there's an economic hit that if you take a moment and you just sit down and you start thinking about it, you really get depressed, because as an American, you always says, okay, this is what I need to do. You know, work hard, get to this point. Because of this pandemic, our hands have been tied. And economically, it's like, Jesus, you know, there's just wait, you know, just sit down, hunker down and just wait. But after all this, you know, it's like, how do you get out of the hole that you've managed to get into financially? You know, it's like, especially for like people that have been living week to week. You know, I'm at that level that people have been living week to week, and we're at the point like, whoa, you know, what's after this? I understand. You know, it's really scary, but you can't even take a moment and just start reflecting. Okay, what's going on? Thank God, at least I have, you know, some work and I could focus on the job, because if I was home and the bills keep coming and this and oh, the walls start closing in real easy.
Well, Jose, I'm glad that you do have the job and you are able to focus on that. I know we'd love to check in with you again as we go forward. This is Jose Martinez, who's worked nearly 31 years as a custodial worker for Boston University. Thanks, Jose.
No problem.
So, Dr. Barocas, just briefly, I mean, the mental health grind that we heard, the vulnerability, the sense of being vulnerable from Jose, what's your reaction to that?
This, you know, this is a very difficult period of time, not just because of the uncertainty of health, but as Jose said, the uncertainty of the economy and what it's going to take to rebuild and truly reopen. I want to say a couple things. First and foremost, and I'll try to be quick, if you are anyone who's listening having, you know, needing extra support to get through this as far as mental health support, there are numerous healthcare providers and free lines that you can call into. And I'm not suggesting that for Jose at all. I'm just saying in general.
Oh, I think we might have just lost Dr. Barocas. We will be sure to get him back. And when we do, we'll get that information from our listeners as well. I was headed toward a break, so now seems like a pretty good time to do that. We'll get Dr. Barocas back for after the break. We'll continue to take your calls and we'll check in with some other folks who have been on the show in the last several weeks during the pandemic as well. We are talking for the rest of this hour about how you're handling the uncertainty of when the state may reopen, of being at home, being isolated, and just not knowing what comes next. Join the conversation. What's on your mind as Massachusetts remains closed for non-essential businesses and other states begin to reopen? Are you tired of being stuck home, or are you finding your new zen there? Or are you a member of the essential workforce who doesn't have that option? Whatever it is, what's your experience? You can call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Just before the break, we had temporarily lost Dr. Josh Barocas, an infectious disease physician and assistant professor of medicine at Boston Medical Center and the BU School of Medicine, in the middle of a point, but I think we have you back, Dr. Barocas. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened.
That's okay. You were going to talk a little bit about mental health resources, I think.
Yeah, so my only point was I know that this is really hard on a lot of people for a lot of reasons, and not the least of which has to do with health and the economy. I wanted to point people, the mass.gov has a number of telephone resources available if you are struggling. And similarly, I know that many of the medical centers have 24-hour hotlines. So I wanted to point that out. Second of all, I know that the economic recovery is going to take a long time. And when we start thinking about that long game, it is overwhelming. That said, I think that whether we reopened, as we were talking about today, just at the start of a gun, or we did this in a slow way, either way, the economy is going to take a long time to reopen and to get back to some sort of normalcy. And so in my opinion, I think that doing it with the best intentions for people's health in mind in that slow, gradual process is probably the best thing to do.
I think we have a call to that same effect, Dr. Brokus. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. And we have Dennis on the line, and I am remote and can't see the whole word of where he's from. I don't know where you're from, Dennis. I can't read it, but you tell us and go ahead with your call.
Well, that'll be easy. It's Dennis from South Dennis on Cape Cod.
Well, there you go. There you go.
So
Go ahead, Dennis from South Dennis.
I'm a 67-year-old senior on a fixed income, semi-retired, in subsidized housing. I first wanted to make kudos to those who have spoke earlier, and they all make a very good point, particularly the gentleman who called in before, and, of course, the doctor. In the big picture, all of this has been well said so far. I just wanted to say, you know, add some new things to the mix. I believe that the decision for opening things up fully should really come from the medical professionals who are on the front line, really dealing with the numbers and dealing with the extent of this situation. And also bearing in mind that this situation could continue, it could come in waves, there could be some other thing in the future. But I really think that the medical professionals should be the ones with the final say. I did want to acknowledge, I feel that our governor is doing a good job in showing leadership with his daily reports and erring on the side of caution. And I do feel bad for all the people that are suffering economically and otherwise, but I think it's also a good time to really look at things differently, and that our economy and our lifestyle has been a bit of a runaway train, and this is a good opportunity to really look at things differently. And as
Dennis, thanks for that. I'm only going to stop you there because I've got a whole bunch of other folks that want to call in too. Dennis, I appreciate it. I appreciate the message. Let's take another call. We've got Kelly on the line from Braintree. Kelly, go ahead.
Hi. Sorry, I'm so nervous. I feel like I'm talking
Don't
to a celebrity.
Don't be, Kelly.
But I listen to your show every day. It's wonderful. So long story short is I feel like I am one of the handful of people that nothing in my life has changed because of coronavirus.
Why is that, Kelly?
So I'm a farmer and a gardener. So I take care of 7 horses, and I manage 5 acres of garden. And also I just so happen to be a homebody, meaning I work alone at both my jobs. So I'm still, you know, and I don't go out a lot anyway, so I've just continued to live my life as I have. I mean, given that when I do have to go to a store, obviously I'm wearing proper PPE, sanitizing, all that. But the reason that I do all this is at both my jobs, my bosses are both high risk. One is high risk with the horses from radiation, and the people I garden for are high risk because they're both over 80. So I feel like, in a sense, because nothing has changed for me, I don't have any kind of like a backboard to kind of figure out where I am in relation to where other people are through this.
Yeah.
And I just like, I get scared because I love my bosses so much. But at the same time, I'm scared.
Yeah, no problem.
I don't know what I would do without my job. I'd go, like, horses are the best therapy.
Well, I'm glad that you've got work right now that gives you, you know, a real sense of meaning and purpose and gives you some joy. And I also appreciate you pointing out that for some, even with great concern about others who are vulnerable, life has maybe not changed that much. So thanks for that call, Kelly. I appreciate it. I had said earlier that we invited some people who have been on the show in the past back on to talk. We have another one now. With me from Boston is Kiana Agbai. She runs the Instagram Harlem Lovebirds in New England. Welcome back, Kiana.
Thank you.
So listen, when we spoke with you last, God, this feels like forever ago, it was the first day that the Boston Public Schools closed. Now the entire rest of the school year is going to be online. How's it been going, and how are you and your kids keeping up with all the changes?
Oh, yes. It feels like it was a year ago, almost.
It does.
I think the good news for us is that we finally got the definitive answer about school not resuming, that the kids for Boston Public Schools would not be going back into the building. So that kind of helped me as a parent be able to manage my own children's expectations. And so now we've kind of hunkered down. We had our April vacation, which was a great break from distance learning for them to be able to spend more time as a family without being consumed with Zoom calls and the like. And I think now that we just kicked off today, week 7 of distance learning, you know, the kids are able to understand, you know, we have 6 more weeks to go. And it's really helped to at least, you know, thinking back to when you and I first spoke in March, it's really helped us kind of put a framework around what this experience is looking for us as a family.
And Kiana, what are you telling yourself to get through the days and the weeks with so much uncertainty?
Yes, what Jose, the previous guest, said really struck a chord with me about taking it one day at a time. If I get too far ahead of myself and think beyond, you know, when I know the end of the school year is for Boston Public Schools, and I start to let my mind wander into what the summer might look like, what will the fall look like, I do get very overwhelmed. And from a mental health perspective, I know it's Mental Health Awareness Month. I've been keeping up with my own therapy, which has been really important during this time. I just tell myself, you know what, each day we wake up and we're one day closer to this being over. And I really just had to chunk it up that way for myself to get through day by day.
That is Kiana Agbai. She runs the Instagram Harlem Lovebirds in New England. It was great to hear your voice again. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And I'd like to grab one more call in this lineup right now. The callers are on the line. We have Kelsey from Worcester. Kelsey, go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a nurse in the greater Boston area. I'm actually just leaving a shift right now. And I just like to tell, especially the people whose lives haven't changed that much, or we are not out of this. We are seeing devastating things every single day in the hospital, and I just urge people whose lives haven't changed or who they think this isn't affecting them, please stay home, wash your hands, do it if not for yourself. I know people are bored, people are struggling mentally, but please, people are dying, and that's all I have to say.
Kelsey, thanks for the call, and take good care of yourself. So Dr. Barocas, that's a whole bunch of voices and a lot of different themes, themes of resilience, themes of pleading, themes, philosophical approaches to what this is going to mean and the opportunities this moment creates for us to do things differently. Just want to invite you to give some reactions.
Yeah, first and foremost, I have to agree with Kelsey, the nurse that just called in. You know, we are making strides every day, right? We're doing about 16,000 tests a day here in Massachusetts. But at the same time, across the country, there are about 3,000 deaths a day. So putting that in perspective is really just humbling. And to echo what Kelsey said, there is still a lot that we have to do. We're not necessarily close to a vaccine. We're starting to understand what tests mean and when people are cleared from this virus. And so we need that patience, and we need a little bit of time. I understand, you know, I'm at home with our two kids and my wife as well. And the walls do seem to be getting closer and closer to each other. So I understand the stresses that are going on in homes and having to deal with some of the financial issues that are coming up. The best comment, I think, as one of the callers just said, was, you know, you take it day by day. We have to make sure that we are doing things for ourselves, that we're taking care of our own mental health. And I'm very proud of the caller to hear that she's still interacting with her therapist. I think that is absolutely crucial in these times, that we try to maintain a sense of balance. And really the best advice I can think of is that day at a time approach. There's no other way to approach it right now. There's too much uncertainty about the future.
That is Dr. Josh Barocas, an infectious diseases physician and assistant professor of medicine at Boston Medical Center and the BU School of Medicine, and a real friend to the show over the last 7 weeks. You've been with us often helping our listeners. You did again today. I really appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.